That are, keeping, we keep updating. This one is about the Oakville Trafalgar High School student, teacher, who is a shop teacher, rather. And the students are upset because they feel like they don't have a voice here because parents have been shut down on commenting about this. Students have been told just, function like there's nothing to see here. And there clearly is something to see. I was just playing some audio from Greg Brady on 640 Toronto and this journalist from the New York Post who ran a story over the weekend saying, not only did we see someone that looks a lot like Kayla Lemieux, the shop teacher who's a transgender woman, looking like a man without breasts, but then Kayla reached out and said, I'll have a little sit down with you. And I actually have a medical condition. I have gigantomastia. It's a very rare condition. There's 300 in medical history. I don't have any documentation to prove this. But the fear now is that, according to Joe Warmington, that the parents of this the kids that go to that school say that they feel that now Kayla Lemieux may be able to get around any future professional dress code changes that they're working on right now at the school board, since the real breasts are not clothing. Here's a clip from Jack talking to Greg Brady.
The most staggering thing that Kayla told me when I met with her was that she would comply with the dress code. So I don't understand why it's got this far to begin with. If she's willing to comply with the dress code, then I wonder whether the school has even asked her to comply. It seems everyone is very worried about infringing her human rights to express her gender, but perhaps no one's even asked her to wear a cardigan.
I don't think that'd go over very well. Anybody else? Hey, you mind wearing a cardigan? Really? You're going to tell a woman how to dress in the workplace? Yeah. How about no? Madalena Vixna is an employment lawyer. She joins the Kelly Cotrera Show. She's with Samfira Tamarkin, LLP, here to talk about what you can and cannot do as an employer. I think it's important that we have this conversation from this perspective because there's a catch-22 here with privacy, right?
Hi, Kelly. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, you're welcome. So, I mean, yes, there's certainly a concerns about privacy, but I think even more so, we he's correct that the primary concerns are with respect to human rights. I mean, the sort of employers can ask employees to dress professionally and have a specific, respectful appearance in the workplace, but they have to be very careful about distinguishing, between men and women. And the really only way to do it is to have a very, very neutralized, a very neutral dress code that, applies to everybody equally. But even that can be a bit of a minefield.
But it's being done all over the place. But I'm wondering if she wants to go down the route of, I have a medical condition that is extremely rare. Does she have to produce some document, documents to prove this from a medical doctor?
I mean, your employer is never entitled to any diagnostic information. They would be entitled to sort of prognosis type information. So if you have the need for, medical accommodation of some kind due to restrictions or, some kind of condition like that, they are entitled only to the bare minimum amount of information that is required for them to provide that accommodation. So they wouldn't ever be reasonably entitled to confirmation of any diagnosis on her part. She would
So
have to
they'll just
potentially
have
get a
to
doctor.
take her word for it?
Well, she would have to potentially get a doctor who would write some kind of very vague letter, I suppose, that would confirm that she does have like a condition that requires her to. I'm not really sure exactly what the restriction would be here so
Yeah,
much.
I think everybody's
Perhaps that
kind of
she can't
uncomfortable
wear.
around the topic, and
Well,
that's true. This
yeah.
is a, this is this could be slightly precedent setting in so
I
many
mean,
different
it's
ways,
possible.
this story.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's possible that the medical condition would be, or the restriction would be, that she's unable to wear a bra. I'm not sure if that's the case. I can't speak to obviously her specific situation, but there could be things that are in place, and the employer does have the obligation to accommodate up to the point of undue hardship, which is an extremely high threshold. So if it is a medical condition and she is able to provide some sort of medical support for it, it's unlikely that they're going to be able to circumvent that. And it wouldn't be in line with the human rights code.
What if it's not a medical condition? What if these are prosthetic breasts? Could you lose your job?
I mean, I'm not sure that it's really a question of whether they're prosthetic or not. I think that it's more...
I think it kind of is at this point, because she's saying, you know, the storyline is they're prosthetic. And then she's saying, no, they're not prosthetic. They're real. I actually have a medical condition. And so parents are like, well, we're trying to do this dress code. And if she can't wear a bra to cover up, you know, her nipples, because that's the big deal here. You know, if that can't happen, then...
But I mean, even if they're prosthetic, then it's covered under the Human Rights Code under gender expression and gender identity, right? So
true. And they're wondering if she's going to be able to get around future dress codes, since real breasts are not clothing. There's the wiggle room.
I suppose, except for, you know, the employer is entitled to say, like, this is what professional means. They have to be really careful, because there are a lot of ways that can interact with various different human rights. I mean, like, even things like hairstyles can certainly, if what you define as professional doesn't include certain sort of traditional hairstyles, or you require women to wear their hair down and long or something like that, those would both interact with race and creed and sex. And so I think that there's a lot of, I mean, the Human Rights Code is quite protective. Like, your human rights are sort of your core rights. As I mean, that sounds really silly now that I'm saying it, but they are core to, like, you know, the culture and the community that we've decided to build. And so I think that it's not going to really be about her circumventing it. It's really more so going to be about which right is infringed upon,
or who, whose rights are being infringed upon. Because I think that's the bigger question right now. It's really an interesting, it's a dynamic story that continues to change. And I don't think it's going anywhere till we, you know, get a dress code in that school. And they think it could take weeks and